The Great Chapter, Part 1, translated by Bhikkhu Sujato. Conscience and Prudence. Mendicants, when there is no conscience and prudence, one who lacks conscience and prudence has destroyed a vital condition for sense restraint. When there is no sense restraint, one who lacks sense restraint has destroyed a vital condition for ethical conduct. When there is no ethical conduct, one who lacks ethics has destroyed a vital condition for right immersion. When there is no right immersion, one who lacks right immersion has destroyed a vital condition for true knowledge and vision. When there is no true knowledge and vision, one who lacks true knowledge and vision has destroyed a vital condition for disillusionment and dispassion. When there is no disillusionment and dispassion, one who lacks disillusionment and dispassion has destroyed a vital condition for knowledge and vision of freedom. Suppose there was a tree that lacked branches and foliage. Its shoots, bark, softwood and heartwood would not grow to fullness. In the same way, when there is no conscience and prudence, a person who lacks conscience and prudence has destroyed a vital condition for sense restraint. When there is no sense restraint, one who lacks sense restraint has destroyed a vital condition for ethical conduct. When there is no ethical conduct, one who lacks ethics has destroyed a vital condition for right immersion. When there is no right immersion, one who lacks right immersion has destroyed a vital condition for true knowledge and vision. When there is no true knowledge and vision, one who lacks true knowledge and vision has destroyed a vital condition for disillusionment and dispassion. When there is no disillusionment and dispassion, one who lacks disillusionment and dispassion has destroyed a vital condition for knowledge and vision of freedom. When there is conscience and prudence, a person who has fulfilled conscience and prudence has fulfilled a vital condition for sense restraint. When there is sense restraint, one who has fulfilled sense restraint has fulfilled a vital condition for ethical conduct. When there is ethical conduct, one who has fulfilled ethical conduct has fulfilled a vital condition for right immersion. When there is right immersion, one who has fulfilled right immersion has fulfilled a vital condition for true knowledge and vision. When there is true knowledge and vision, one who has fulfilled true knowledge and vision has fulfilled a vital condition for disillusionment and dispassion. When there is disillusionment and dispassion, one who has fulfilled disillusionment and dispassion has fulfilled a vital condition for knowledge and vision of freedom. Suppose there was a tree that was complete with branches and foliage. Its shoots, bark, softwood and heartwood would grow to fullness. In the same way, when there is conscience and prudence, a person who has fulfilled conscience and prudence has fulfilled a vital condition for sense restraint. When there is sense restraint, one who has fulfilled sense restraint has fulfilled a vital condition for ethical conduct. When there is ethical conduct, one who has fulfilled ethical conduct has fulfilled a vital condition for right immersion. When there is right immersion, one who has fulfilled right immersion has fulfilled a vital condition for true knowledge and vision. When there is true knowledge and vision, one who has fulfilled true knowledge and vision has fulfilled a vital condition for disillusionment and dispassion. When there is disillusionment and dispassion, one who has fulfilled disillusionment and dispassion has fulfilled a vital condition for knowledge and vision of freedom. The Seven Sons. So I have heard. At one time the Buddha was staying near Vesali in Ambapali's mango grove. There the Buddha addressed the mendicants. Mendicants? Venerable sir, they replied. The Buddha said this. Mendicants, conditions are impermanent. Conditions are unstable. Conditions are unreliable. This is quite enough for you to become disillusioned, dispassionate and freed regarding all conditions. Sinaru, the king of mountains, is 84,000 leagues long and 84,000 leagues wide. It sinks 84,000 leagues below the ocean and rises 84,000 leagues above it. There comes a time when, after a very long period has passed, the rain doesn't fall. For many years, many hundreds, many thousands, many hundreds of thousands of years, no rain falls. When this happens, the plants and seeds, the herbs, grass and big trees wither away and dry up, and are no more. So impermanent are conditions, so unstable, so unreliable. This is quite enough for you to become disillusioned, dispassionate and freed regarding all conditions. There comes a time when, after a very long period has passed, a second sun appears. When this happens, the streams and pools wither away and dry up, and are no more. So impermanent are conditions, so unstable, so unreliable. This is quite enough for you to become disillusioned, dispassionate and freed regarding all conditions. There comes a time when, after a very long period has passed, a third sun appears. When this happens, the great rivers, the Ganges, Yamuna, Achirawati, Sarabhu and Mahi wither away and dry up and are no more. So impermanent are conditions, so unstable, so unreliable. This is quite enough for you to become disillusioned, dispassionate and freed regarding all conditions. There comes a time when, after a very long period has passed, a fourth sun appears. When this happens, the great lakes from which the rivers originate, Dhyanotata, Sihapapata, Ratakara, Kanamunda, Kunala, Chitanta, and Mandakini wither away and dry up, and are no more. So impermanent are conditions, so unstable, so unreliable. This is quite enough for you to become disillusioned, dispassionate, and freed regarding all conditions. There comes a time when, after a very long period has passed, a fifth sun appears. When this happens, the water in the ocean sinks by 100 leagues. It sinks by 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or even 700 leagues. The water that remains in the ocean is only 7 palm trees deep. It's 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, or even 1 palm tree deep. The water that remains in the ocean is only 7 fathoms deep. It's 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, or even 1/2 fathom deep. It's waist high, knee high, or even ankle high. It's like the time after the rainy season, when the rain falls heavily and water remains here and there in the cow's hoofprints. In the same way, water in the ocean remains here and there in puddles, like a cow's hoofprints. When the fifth sun appears, there's not even enough water in the great ocean to wet a toe joint. So impermanent are conditions, so unstable, so unreliable. This is quite enough for you to become disillusioned, dispassionate and freed regarding all conditions. There comes a time when, after a very long period has passed, a sixth sun appears. When this happens, this great earth and Sinaru, the king of mountains, smoke and smoulder and give off fumes. It's like when a potter's kiln is first kindled, and it smokes and smoulders and gives off fumes. In the same way, this great earth and Sinaru, the king of mountains, smoke and smoulder and give off fumes. So impermanent are conditions, so unstable, so unreliable. This is quite enough for you to become disillusioned, dispassionate and freed regarding all conditions. There comes a time when, after a very long period has passed, a seventh sun appears. When this happens, this great earth and Sinaru, the king of mountains, erupt in one burning mass of fire. And as they blaze and burn, the flames are swept by the wind as far as the Brahma realm. Sinaru, the king of mountains, blazes and burns, crumbling as it's overcome by the great fire. And meanwhile, mountain peaks 100 leagues high, or 2, 3, 4, or 500 leagues high, disintegrate as they burn. And when the great earth and Sinaru, the king of mountains, blaze and burn, no soot or ash is found. It's like when ghee or oil blaze and burn, and neither ashes nor soot are found. In the same way, When the great earth and Sinaru, the king of mountains, blaze and burn, no soot or ash is found. So impermanent are conditions, so unstable are conditions, so unreliable are conditions. This is quite enough for you to become disillusioned, dispassionate and freed regarding all conditions. Mendicants, who would ever think or believe that this earth and Sinaru, king of mountains, will burn and crumble and be no more, except for one who has seen the truth? Once upon a time, there was a teacher called Sunetta. He was a religious founder and was free of sensual desire. He had many hundreds of disciples. He taught them the path to rebirth in the company of Brahma. Those who totally understood Sunetta's teachings were, when their body broke up after death, reborn in a good place, the company of Brahma. Of those who didn't totally understand Sunetta's teachings, some, when their body broke up after death, were reborn in the company of the gods who control the creations of others. Some were reborn in the company of the gods who love to create, some with the joyful gods, some with the gods of Yama, some with the gods of the 33, and some with the gods of the 4 great kings. Some were reborn in the company of well-to-do aristocrats or Brahmins or householders. Then the teacher, Sunetta, thought, "It's not proper for me to be reborn in the next life in exactly the same place as my disciples. Why don't I further develop love?" Then Sunetta developed love for 7 years. Having done so, he did not return to this world for 7 aeons of cosmic expansion and contraction. As the cosmos contracted, he went to the realm of streaming radiance. As it expanded, he was reborn in an empty mansion of Brahma. There he was, Brahma, the great Brahma, the vanquisher, the unvanquished, the universal seer, the wielder of power. He was Sakka, lord of gods, 36 times. Many hundreds of times he was a king, a wheel-turning monarch, a just and principled king. His dominion extended to all 4 sides, he achieved stability in the country, and he possessed the 7 treasures. He had over 1,000 sons who were valiant and heroic, crushing the armies of his enemies. After conquering this land girt by sea, he reigned by principle, without rod or sword. Yet even though Sunetta lived so long, he was not exempt from rebirth, old age and death. He was not exempt from sorrow, lamentation, pain, sadness and distress, I say. Why is that? Because of not understanding and not penetrating 4 things. What 4? Noble ethics, immersion, wisdom, and freedom. These noble ethics, immersion, wisdom, and freedom have been understood and comprehended. Craving for continued existence has been cut off. The conduit to rebirth is ended. Now there'll be no more future lives. That is what the Buddha said. Then the Holy One, the teacher, went on to say, "Ethics, immersion and wisdom, and the supreme freedom, these things have been understood by Gotama the renowned." And so the Buddha, having insight, explained this teaching to the mendicants. The teacher has made an end of suffering. Seeing clearly, he is extinguished. The Simile of the Citadel. Mendicants, when a king's frontier citadel is well provided with 7 essentials and gets 4 kinds of sustenance when needed, without trouble or difficulty, it is then called a king's frontier citadel that cannot be overrun by external foes and enemies. With what 7 essentials is a citadel well provided? Firstly, a citadel has a pillar with deep foundations, firmly embedded, imperturbable and unshakable. This is the 1st essential with which a king's frontier citadel is well provided, to defend those within and repel those outside. Furthermore, a citadel has a moat that is deep and wide. This is the 2nd essential. Furthermore, a citadel has a patrol path that is high and wide. This is the 3rd essential. Furthermore, a citadel has stores of many weapons, both projectile and handheld. This is the fourth essential. Furthermore, many kinds of armed forces reside in a citadel, such as elephant riders, cavalry, charioteers, archers, bannermen, adjutants, food servers, warrior chiefs, princes, chargers, great warriors, heroes, leather-clad soldiers, and sons of bondservants. This is the fifth essential. Furthermore, a citadel has a gatekeeper who is astute, competent, and intelligent. He keeps strangers out and lets known people in. This is the sixth essential. Furthermore, a citadel has a wall that's high and wide, covered with plaster. This is the seventh essential with which a king's frontier citadel is well provided to defend those within and repel those outside. With these seven essentials, a citadel is well provided. What are the four kinds of sustenance it gets when needed, without trouble or difficulty? Firstly, a king's frontier citadel has much hay, wood, and water stored up for the enjoyment, relief, and comfort of those within, and to repel those outside. Furthermore, a king's frontier citadel has much rice and barley stored up for those within. Furthermore, a king's frontier citadel has much food, such as sesame, green gram, and black gram stored up for those within. Furthermore, a king's frontier citadel has much medicine, ghee, butter, oil, honey, molasses, and salt, stored up for the enjoyment, relief, and comfort of those within, and to repel those outside. These are the four kinds of sustenance it gets when needed, without trouble or difficulty. When a king's frontier citadel is well provided with seven essentials and gets four kinds of sustenance when needed, without trouble or difficulty, it is then called a king's frontier citadel that cannot be overrun by external forces and enemies. In the same way, when a noble disciple has seven good qualities and they get the four absorptions, blissful meditations in the present life that belong to the higher mind, when they want, without trouble or difficulty, they are then called a noble disciple who cannot be overrun by Mara, who cannot be overrun by the wicked one. What are the seven good qualities that they have? Just as a king's frontier citadel has a pillar with deep foundations, firmly embedded, imperturbable and unshakable, to defend those within and repel those outside, in the same way a noble disciple has faith in the realized one's awakening. That blessed one is perfected, a fully awakened Buddha, accomplished in knowledge and conduct, holy, knower of the world, supreme guide for those who wish to train, teacher of gods and humans, awakened, blessed. A noble disciple with faith as their pillar gives up the unskillful and develops the skillful. They give up the blameworthy and develop the blameless, and they keep themselves pure. This is the first good quality they have. Just as a citadel has a moat that is deep and wide, in the same way a noble disciple has a conscience. They're conscientious about bad conduct by way of body, speech, and mind, and conscientious about having any bad, unskillful qualities. A noble disciple with a conscience as their moat gives up the unskillful and develops the skillful. They give up the blameworthy and develop the blameless, and they keep themselves pure. This is the second good quality they have. Just as a citadel has a patrol path that is high and wide, in the same way a noble disciple is prudent. They're prudent when it comes to bad conduct by way of body, speech, and mind, and prudent when it comes to acquiring any bad, unskillful qualities. A noble disciple with prudence as their patrol path gives up the unskillful and develops the skillful. They give up the blameworthy and develop the blameless, and they keep themselves pure. This is the third good quality they have. Just as a citadel has stores of many weapons, both projectile and handheld, in the same way a noble disciple is very learned. They remember and keep what they've learned. These teachings are good in the beginning, good in the middle, and good in the end, meaningful and well-phrased, describing a spiritual practice that's entirely full and pure. They are very learned in such teachings, remembering them, reciting them, mentally scrutinizing them, and comprehending them theoretically. A noble disciple with learning as their weapon gives up the unskillful and develops the skillful. They give up the blameworthy and develop the blameless, and they keep themselves pure. This is the fourth good quality they have. Just as many kinds of armed forces reside in a citadel, in the same way a noble disciple is energetic. They live with energy roused up for giving up unskillful qualities and embracing skillful qualities. They are strong, staunchly vigorous, not slacking off when it comes to developing skillful qualities. A noble disciple with energy as their armed forces gives up the unskillful and develops the skillful. They give up the blameworthy and develop the blameless, and they keep themselves pure. This is the fifth good quality they have. Just as a citadel has a gatekeeper who is astute, competent, and intelligent, who keeps strangers out and lets known people in the same way a noble disciple is mindful. They have utmost mindfulness and alertness, and can remember and recall what was said and done long ago. A noble disciple with mindfulness as their gatekeeper gives up the unskillful and develops the skillful. They give up the blameworthy and develop the blameless, and they keep themselves pure. This is the sixth good quality they have. Just as a citadel has a wall that's high and wide, covered with plaster to defend those within and repel those outside, in the same way a noble disciple is wise. They have the wisdom of arising and passing away, which is noble, penetrative, and leads to the complete ending of suffering. A noble disciple with wisdom as their wall gives up the unskillful and develops the skillful. They give up the blameworthy and develop the blameless, and they keep themselves pure. This is the seventh good quality they have. These are the seven good qualities that they have. And what are the four absorptions, blissful meditations in the present life that belong to the higher mind, that they get when they want, without trouble or difficulty? Just as a king's frontier citadel has much hay, wood, and water stored up for the enjoyment, relief, and comfort of those within, and to repel those outside, in the same way a noble disciple, quite secluded from sensual pleasures, secluded from unskillful qualities, enters and remains in the first absorption, which has the rapture and bliss born of seclusion while placing the mind and keeping it connected. This is for their own enjoyment, relief, and comfort, and for alighting upon extinguishment. Just as a king's frontier citadel has much rice and barley stored up, in the same way as the placing of the mind and keeping it connected are stilled, a noble disciple enters and remains in the second absorption, which has the rapture and bliss born of immersion, with internal clarity and mind at one, without placing the mind and keeping it connected. This is for their own enjoyment, relief, and comfort, and for alighting upon extinguishment. Just as a king's frontier citadel has much food, such as sesame, green gram, and black gram stored up, in the same way, with the fading away of rapture, a noble disciple enters and remains in the third absorption, where they meditate with equanimity, mindful and aware, personally experience the bliss of which the noble ones declare, "Equanimous and mindful, one meditates in bliss." This is for their own enjoyment, relief and comfort, and for alighting upon extinguishment. Just as a king's frontier citadel has much medicine, ghee, butter, oil, honey, molasses, and salt, stored up for the enjoyment, relief, and comfort of those within, and to repel those outside. In the same way, giving up pleasure and pain, and ending former happiness and sadness, a noble disciple enters and remains in the fourth absorption, without pleasure or pain, with pure equanimity and mindfulness. This is for their own enjoyment, relief, and comfort, and for alighting upon extinguishment. These are the four absorptions, blissful meditations in the present life that belong to the higher mind, which they get when they want, without trouble or difficulty. When a noble disciple has 7 good qualities, and they get the 4 absorptions, blissful meditations in the present life that belong to the higher mind, when they want, without trouble or difficulty, they are then called a noble disciple who cannot be overrun by Mara, who cannot be overrun by the wicked one. One who knows the teachings. A mendicant with 7 qualities is worthy of offerings dedicated to the gods, worthy of hospitality, worthy of a religious donation, worthy of veneration with joined palms, and is the supreme field of merit for the world. What 7? It's when a mendicant knows the teachings, knows the meaning, has self-knowledge, knows moderation, knows the right time, knows assemblies, and knows people high and low. And how is a mendicant one who knows the teachings? It's when a mendicant knows the teachings, statements, mixed prose and verse, discussions, verses, inspired exclamations, legends, stories of past lives, amazing stories, and elaborations. If a mendicant did not know these teachings, they would not be called one who knows the teachings. But because they do know these teachings, they are called one who knows the teachings. Such is the one who knows the teachings. And how are they one who knows the meaning? It's when a mendicant knows the meaning of this or that statement. This is what that statement means. That is what this statement means. If a mendicant did not know the meaning of this or that statement, they would not be called one who knows the meaning. But because they do know the meaning of this or that statement, they are called one who knows the meaning. Such is the one who knows the teachings and the one who knows the meaning. And how are they one who has self-knowledge? It's when a mendicant has self-knowledge. This is the extent of my faith, ethics, learning, generosity, wisdom, and eloquence. If a mendicant did not have self-knowledge, they would not be called one who has self-knowledge. But because they do have self-knowledge, they are called one who has self-knowledge. Such is the one who knows the teachings, the one who knows the meaning, the one who has self-knowledge. And how are they one who knows moderation? It's when a mendicant knows moderation when receiving robes, alms food, lodgings, and medicines and supplies for the sick. If a mendicant did not know moderation, they would not be called one who knows moderation. But because they do know moderation, they are called one who knows moderation. Such is the one who knows the teachings, the one who knows the meaning, the one who has self-knowledge, and the one who knows moderation. And how are they one who knows the right time? It's when a mendicant knows the right time. This is the time for recitation. This is the time for questioning. This is the time for meditation. This is the time for retreat. If a mendicant did not know the right time, they would not be called one who knows the right time. But because they do know the right time, they are called one who knows the right time. Such is the one who knows the teachings, the one who knows the meaning, the one who has self-knowledge, the one who knows moderation, and the one who knows the right time. And how are they one who knows assemblies? It's when a mendicant knows assemblies. This is an assembly of aristocrats, of Brahmins, of householders, or of ascetics. This one should be approached in this way. This is how to stand, to act, to sit, to speak, or to stay silent when there. If a mendicant did not know assemblies, they would not be called one who knows assemblies. But because they do know assemblies, they are called one who knows assemblies. Such is the one who knows the teachings, the one who knows the meaning, the one who has self-knowledge, the one who knows moderation, the one who knows the right time, and the one who knows assemblies? And how are they one who knows people high and low? It's when a mendicant understands people in terms of pairs. Two people, one likes to see the noble ones, one does not. The person who doesn't like to see the noble ones is reprehensible in that respect. The person who does like to see the noble ones is praiseworthy in that respect. Two people like to see the noble ones. One likes to hear the true teaching, one does not. The person who doesn't like to hear the true teaching is reprehensible in that respect. The person who does like to hear the true teaching is praiseworthy in that respect. Two people like to hear the true teaching. One actively listens to the teaching, one does not. The person who doesn't actively listen to the teaching is reprehensible in that respect. The person who does actively listen to the teaching is praiseworthy in that respect. Two people actively listen to the teaching. One remembers the teaching they've heard, one does not. The person who doesn't remember the teaching they've heard is reprehensible in that respect. The person who does remember the teaching they've heard is praiseworthy in that respect. Two people remember the teaching they've heard. One reflects on the meaning of the teachings they have remembered. One does not. The person who does not reflect on the meaning of the teachings they have remembered is reprehensible in that respect. The person who does reflect on the meaning of the teachings they have remembered is praiseworthy in that respect. Two people reflect on the meaning of the teachings they have remembered. One understands the meaning and the teaching and practices accordingly. One understands the meaning and the teaching, but does not practice accordingly. The person who understands the meaning and the teaching, but does not practice accordingly, is reprehensible in that respect. The person who understands the meaning and the teaching, and practices accordingly, is praiseworthy in that respect. Two people understand the meaning and the teaching, and practice accordingly. One practices to benefit themselves, but not others. And one practices to benefit both themselves and others. The person who practices to benefit themselves but not others is reprehensible in that respect. The person who practices to benefit both themselves and others is praiseworthy in that respect. That's how a mendicant understands people in terms of pairs. That's how a mendicant is one who knows people high and low. A mendicant with these seven qualities is worthy of offerings dedicated to the gods, worthy of hospitality, worthy of a religious donation, worthy of veneration with joined palms, and is the supreme field of merit for the world.